listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today in studio, Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder Newspapers, and on the line, Larry Parnes, investigations editor with the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Local election season gets underway on Tuesday in Springfield. Mayor Dominic Sarno will start his bid for another term. He'll be facing Yolanda Cancel and Jeffrey Donnelly in the preliminary election. The top two vote-getters there will move on to November's general election. Turnout for the last mayoral preliminary in Springfield was barely 7%, and City Councilor Adam Gomez is looking for that to improve.
We need people to go out and make sure that their grandmothers are getting to the poll and their grandfathers. We have to make sure that kids that are 18 years of age know that they can vote. And we need to tell our returning folks that from incarceration that felons can vote in the state of Massachusetts.
Mike, any reason to think that'll change on Tuesday?
Nope. a very blunt answer. Here's the problem. You've got a mayor's race that is not generating a lot of interest. You've got an at-large city council race that is going to be interesting, and you have a very interesting Ward 4 city councilor race in which Councilor E. Henry Twiggs has given up his seat, so it's an open seat. There's four contestants for that particular position. Those city council races may generate more interest among voters than the mayor's race.
Meanwhile, the following Tuesday, September 17th, there will be a primary for mayor in Berkshire County's largest community, Pittsfield. Linda Tyer will be seeking her second term in office as the incumbent. She'll be facing three others, City Councilor Melissa Mazzio, retired police officer Karen Kalinowski, and businessman Scott Graves. The top two in the voting there will also move on to November. Larry, crime in Pittsfield has been an issue in this race. Does the incumbent Mayor Tyer have anything to worry about in terms of making it to November?
Probably not, although I think Mazzio, and Adam, you followed her campaign and her public life. She's pretty credible, and she's got supporters. I think the question that she put out there about the mayor's response to crime, it is an issue that is on the public mind, for sure. There's way too much gun violence in Pittsfield, and even over the summer it kind of heated up, so I think she's right to say that people are concerned about that. And yet, when she put this out recently as a campaign move, I was not struck by the solutions that she's offering to this, just not convinced that she was presenting to people ways that she could reduce crime. And in fact, Tyer's got a pretty good record of having done some things, introducing a shot spotter technology, which gets the police very quickly to locations where guns have been shot. There have been five shootings in a month, not all with injuries, but there was a fatal shooting in late August. I think Tyer's going to do okay on that issue.
All right, Larry, and let's stick with elections and voting for a moment. This week, Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey gave her okay to 12 potential ballot questions to possibly go before voters. 10 of those could be next year. And the next step for supporters is to gain more than 800,000 signatures from registered voters by early December. Larry, any of these ballot questions, potential ballot questions, catch your eye?
Well, yes. I think the ranked choice voting, which is used in Maine, is valuable. There's things that have been put into place in other state governments that do make sense. But some of them are contentious, and some of them are kind of retreads, like the right to repair issue. Generally, I like the idea of citizen initiative petitions. They can pressure lawmakers and achieve some things that the legislature just doesn't want to get into.
Mike, what about you?
It's very interesting how much members of the general court absolutely despise and hate referendum questions.
They do indeed.
State Rep. Joe Wagner from Chicopee at a chamber event I was at talked about that he never votes for any referendum issue in any way, shape, or form. I think that what would be interesting is to see if some of these issues, like the right to repair issue, which could be easily fixed by legislation, if the legislature will actually like take action on some of these things so they can control the narrative, because that's always their complaint with the referendums, that something gets passed and then they have to retrofit legislation around the will of the voters.
Or sometimes they take a referendum outcome and then legislate it, as with cannabis. You know, they want to definitely get their hands on it. But I think the fact that the citizens can come forward and have this power in Massachusetts is a positive thing.
And finally, this week, the MGM Casino, of course, has just passed its first anniversary, yet services to help some problem gamblers have taken time to get started. Some public health officials say the state took a while to spend money on these projects, and Springfield money to hire community health workers to focus on gambling has come in the last 6 months, but they're still not hired. Larry, real quick, should this have all been in place when the casino opened?
It seems like it. I don't get that. It does seem that this is okay. Yes, we're following the provisions that, the state has banked like $6 million from casino revenue fees to do this. It is an issue, and that, as we know, Massachusetts Council on Compulsive Gambling has been doing some work in casinos, and they've had thousands of interactions with people who say that they are problem gamblers.
Mike, I'd like to give you the last word.
I think that it's fascinating that this was not put in place. The state moved like a glacier when it came to the whole casino gaming thing. You would think that this would have been part of their, anal retentiveness to have everything in place for problem gaming, which was one of the criticisms against having expanded gaming in the Commonwealth.
All right. Mike Dobbs of The Reminder and Larry Parnas of the Berkshire Eagle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And thank you, loyal listeners of the Shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can join us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.